Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So, Brad, Disney had some interesting Mulan news just, a couple days ago, I guess.
A couple of days as we're recording.
Yeah.
Who knows as of when you're listening? Maybe years ago. Welcome back. I hope things got better in the future. But yes, we have Mulan news to cover.
So it's coming to iTunes and Amazon Prime Video, like all the different video stores for purchase.
Yeah, basically, if it's a digital video store, you will be able to get Mulan on October 6th, right?
Yeah, so 1 month after the release on Disney Plus premiere.
Either way, you will either in the very near future or in the recent past or maybe the far back past, will be able to get Mulan not having to pay $29.99 for the Disney Plus premiere access golden silver diamond amulet.
But you will still have paid $29.99. It just won't be on top of your Disney Plus membership.
Well, so first of all, it won't be on top of your Disney Plus membership, and you won't have to continue paying $29.99 until December to have continued access to Mulan.
Right.
Which this was a weird thing, because when they announced Mulan, I could have sworn the words Disney Plus exclusive got used. In fact, didn't you and I discuss how like mm-hmm. this could affect their relationship with the theaters with mm-hmm. with video and like with all of these people, because suddenly they were locking something behind Disney Plus, and a pretty major thing behind Disney Plus. And here we are, like shortly after the fact, because when did Mulan come out on
September 6th?
Okay, so a month later, now you can get it on video demand, and you can own it for the same price that you could rent it for the first month. Though, I mean, I will give Disney credit. The last thing you would have wanted to do is at all mention that you were going to let video on demand, because like clearly
right.
all of those companies knew when Disney, you know, well before Disney said Disney Plus exclusive, that they were getting it October 6th. They probably just had to sign NDAs and all that kind of stuff. But by not letting anybody say that, you got a lot of income you wouldn't have otherwise had, because, you know, for all the people who are like you or I, where we're not that concerned about seeing Mulan, because again, I don't think it's going to be a bad movie. It just isn't one that's really pulling me in. So I'm willing to wait until December when it comes on my Disney Plus. There would have been a whole lot more people that if you told them, if you can just hold out a month, you'll be able to pay the same price and own it, you know, outright and watch it whenever you want for however many months you want, whether or not you continue to keep Disney Plus for this $29.99 fee. And there would have been much fewer people take, I personally think, I mean, I guess I don't have the data to back that up, but I feel like a lot of people would have been more willing to wait that month.
Yeah, well, and it makes, because we talked about, you know, when they accidentally leaked that it would be on Disney Plus for everybody December 6th, you know, which was the 3 months after release, you know, time frame, that, oh, yeah, you know, it's only a 3 month exclusivity window. But now it's just a 1 month, because whether or not you have Disney Plus, if you want to buy that movie, if you want to purchase it and own it, this, even if they leave it on Disney Plus Premiere, this is the way to do it, because like you said, then it's yours. And if you're going to pay the $30, this is the much more flexible way to pay $30.
Well, and I also recall us talking about, you know, wondering what sort of before we had heard the December 6th, talking about, you know, what was the precedent going to be?
Right.
Because whatever they did with Mulan, you were going to infer into anything. And that's exactly what I'm doing, because now I'm looking at this and going, okay, well, when a movie that I really do, you know, or that I more so want to see,
like
comes
Soul.
Out. Yeah, yeah. When Soul comes out on Premiere Access, I can be a patient person at times, and I could see myself saying, you know what, I can wait one more month to watch that, and, you know, pay that $29. Like, again, I don't know that I would want to wait the full 3 months to allow it to come out on Disney Plus, but I could see waiting that 1 month and then owning it outright, you know, and then especially with Disney Movies Anywhere and all that kind of stuff, where I get it on, you know, my YouTube, my Amazon, like anything that's signed into anything, Vudu, it's going to show up on that service for me. So I think that's really convenient and is in many ways preferable. Plus, then you get you're going to get Disney Movie Rewards points for it. So there's a lot of stuff that feeds into this, and I kind of wonder if this is going to be a like one-off thing for Disney Premier Access, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the numbers were for it.
My conspiracy theory is that these services, like, this was not planned a month ago, and that Mulan did not do the numbers that they wanted, and that this is an abandonment of the Premier Access for Mulan, and maybe they'll go back to the drawing board, and when Soul, for example, comes out, it's $20 for the, you know, rental quote, not $30. But that's my theory, is that this is a, you know, maybe a week ago they decided, like, okay, this didn't work. We're not making near enough. And this is them, you know, just putting it up for sale and hoping, you know, that people will buy it.
Again, before it comes out on Disney Plus. And then I feel like a lot of that, you're going to lose a lot of people that you would otherwise get to spend that money, right?
How does this affect the physical releases?
I don't know. So I think Chris on Facebook had asked about, you know, the 3D release, which I still haven't heard any. Have you heard anything about that one yet?
I haven't heard anything about the physical releases, period.
Okay,
discs,
yeah.
Discs, all that kind of stuff.
So I would assume this means physical releases soon, right? Like, usually video on demand gets a little bit of lead time, or at times at least it does.
Yeah, like a week or so.
So I wonder if this mean physical releases November 6th? Like,
yeah,
September?
That still seems like a pretty hefty lead, but yeah. See, because I wouldn't have expected physical releases until December. You know, like Disney Plus for everyone and physical release same day. But it does not appear that's...
But that's what... And I would have agreed with that. And I think, you know, we discussed that prior to this whole dropped on video on demand thing. And now I have no clue, man. But yeah, like I said, I could see making some argument for the September, October, November. And as much as, you know, you have the conspiracy theory about it, you know, this being kind of an abandoned ship, another conspiracy theory here is perhaps this is the result of a lot of those companies coming to Disney and saying, hey, you know, we don't like this idea of us being cut out, and we don't like the precedent this is setting. And, you know, as much of a Goliath as Disney now is, and as much as they can set their own terms most of the time, and we've seen this with movie theaters and you know, you must devote this many screens for this many weeks for our releases and all that sort of stuff. I think if enough people complain, they could still make some noise. And so you could even make the argument that maybe this is Disney saying, okay, well, we won't completely cut you guys out. We'll do something like this. Though your $20 thing is interesting to me, because I do think that is how Disney could turn this around next time. Because, again, using Soul as the example, if Soul came out and said that's a $20 premiere act, you know, pay $20 for premiere access and get it. And in my mind, I'm going to be thinking, okay, well, next month it'll probably come out on video on demand, just like Mulan did. But I bet it'll still be $30 for video on demand to purchase it. So I could spend $10 less, rent it for a month, and then, you know, also know that 2 months after that, I'm going to have it just on my normal Disney Plus account. Yeah, I'd rather save the $10 in that case.
Right. Okay, I got one more thought. Mulan was filmed, post-produced, edited, like all everything for movie theaters. What if these deals were already in place a year ago? Mm.
Yeah, you know, so
this movie was never meant to be an at-home release. This movie was fully meant to be a huge tentpole theater release, like theatrical. What if all of this was in place and they've just kind of done this premiere access thing as a stopgap to kind of try to make a little bit more money? But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what if this was the timeline that was already set?
They already knew they had to give it to video on demand right at this time. And so they said, well, let's try to make a little bit of money off of it because, you know, there is some percentage that has to go to Vudu or Fandango or whoever you're going to be paying.
Just the lack of communication in all this is very strange. And it almost feels like this isn't how they would prefer to be doing it. I don't know.
Oh, I think COVID created a lot of stuff that they would have preferred not to do. So I don't know. It will be interesting to see if this is indicative of an overall shift, or if this is just, you know, the weirdness because everything is weird right now, and maybe in the future this is all but a footnote in the history of Disney movie releases. So I guess we'll see, and we'll see what happens next with Mulan, because we still have unanswered questions about physical releases, what that's going to consist of, when that's going to consist of. A lot is up in the air right now.
When will I be able to get it on standard definition DVD? Is the VHS release?
So slightly off topic. We were doing some minivan shopping because two kids, and you know, we have an SUV, and
you can just say
a slightly
because
larger,
two kids.
Well, there you go. Yes, because two kids. We decided that we needed at least one minivan for, especially just for travel and stuff. And
captain's chairs, my man.
That's right. That's right. We were looking at, you know, older models. So we were looking around, you know, 2011, 2012 was kind of the sweet spot. And we saw this one that was so we were looking at Honda Odysseys, and we were looking at the Touring Edition, which was, and I assume still is, their top of the line. Actually, I think there's a Touring Elite. Anyway, it had the entertainment system built in, you know, from the roof and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, it would be nice to have an entertainment system. And then I look at it and I'm thinking, but the only way to get stuff is on DVD. I'd have to find our DVDs in order to use that, or, you know, burn some DVDs. I don't know, you know, like I guess I could buy some off of eBay or something, or there were like composite hookups for it. And
yeah, you'd have make a carputer and get VGA to composite.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Or, you know, just pull out my old iPod Classic or something like that. So yeah. I don't know that the standard def release is going to be a huge selling point, but you know what? At the same time as I say that, I know I know people who still use DVD who, you know, are just, and in some ways maybe they're the smart ones because, you know, everything is going streaming. So just stick with DVD until the streaming thing is just the way that it is. And then they can just totally skip that whole Blu-ray generation, I guess.
So one thing I wanted to talk about this week is character dining. So I have never done a character meal, like ever at all. No dinner, no lunch. I've never had characters, you know, in the room when I'm eating. Claire and I are, you know, talking about we're going to go on a trip in 2 years for our 10th anniversary, and so we're talking, you know, very preliminarily about where we want to eat and stuff, and. Neither of us are that jazzed about character dining. Like, that's not even something we have ever really talked about trying. And so I wanted to ask you what your opinion on character dining is, and if we should, you know, if it's worth the hiked prices, because most character dining experiences are much more expensive than a non-character dining experience. And is it worth the, you know, extra money and the, you know, extra popularity of that?
So you say that you've never done character dining, but I know that you've done Ohana multiple times. Has Stitch not been there when you've done Ohana?
Well, no.
So that's character dining light or whatever, right?
Stitch has been there in the capacity that Stitch is kind of dancing around with kids at Ohana. I've never, you know, he's never interacted with us or even been anywhere near us at Ohana. He's usually in the middle of the restaurant with all the kids, like, dancing around. But he also doesn't, I think Ohana's only character, like, actual, quote, character dining at breakfast.
Yeah, it is. And so I say that to say that's kind of a character dining light experience. Mm-hmm. So character is there, but not to the level. So I've done character dining twice. We did it once at Crystal Palace and once at Chef Mickey. And I'm trying to think. I want to say Nancy and I were together, or I think one of them was the trip where we got engaged, and the other one might have been after we were married, which I only say that because she has a definite fear of costumed characters. So character dining with her is super fun. Like, I seriously thought she was going to fall under the table when I forget, it was somebody at Chef Mickey, and we were in one of those, like, big booths or whatever, you know, the like semicircle booths.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she had already made sure that she was put kind of, you know, with people on both sides of her, but still she was just, she's not a fan of characters, but which is great, you know, good reason to go to Disney. But outside of having somebody who doesn't enjoy it, so for me personally, right, like, I don't have anything against characters, but I'm also not going to go wait in line to see characters or anything like that's, you know, doing the signature books, all that kind of stuff, just not really my thing, right? That's not what I go to Disney for. So from that perspective, I mean, character dining is fun and all, because you do have characters that are going to come around. They're going to, you know, they're going to at least stop by the tables, interact, you know, they'll sign signature books. They'll take pictures. They might talk with you a little bit and stuff. I remember Winnie the Pooh was really interested in my Texas A&M shirt. Might have been friends with somebody who was a big fan of Texas A&M. Who's to say? But, or no, not Pooh. It was Piglet. That side of it doesn't really draw me in, or I guess more accurately, didn't used to draw me in. I would love to go do a character dining now, because, you know, so our last trip where we took our daughter with us, she was very into character. And that was the one thing that kind of gave me pause about doing character dining, is because, you know, I've seen a lot of kids who have very negative reactions to characters, especially when they're younger, right? And, you know, as amusing as it is that my wife is, you know, not comfortable around characters, like, she knows that we're doing character dining and she's okay with doing character dining. So as long as she signs up for it, that's cool. I would not want to, like, expose my child to that unless I had previously taken them to do some sort of thing around characters and knew they would be comfortable with it, right?
Right.
Because miserable child equals just miserable experience. But knowing the way that she enjoys, you know, characters, like, I just remember her getting so excited when she saw Mickey and Minnie, or, you know, even like Donald Duck. And she had never seen Donald Duck before, but she was just excited to see a character. I would love to do character dining with her, and that side of it, I think, is definitely worth it, because then you get an opportunity to do a lot of characters. And again, you don't have to do the lines and everything. They're going to come to you, and you're still, you know, you still get Disney dining, a Disney dining experience on top of that. So I think that from that aspect, it is worth it. So if you're into characters, or if you have kids who are into characters, worth it. Otherwise, I personally didn't, you know, I didn't have an issue with it, but it wasn't anything that I was like, yes, we're going to do character dining.
So a good way to think about it is it's more or less a way for you to have access to characters easier than waiting in line in the park or, you know, just happening to come upon a walk around character.
Which is to say waiting in line in a park because walk around right. characters don't exist anymore. at least that's the way that I feel about it. And it's easier. It's in some ways quicker. And I don't know. I was about to say you get more time with them, but I don't really know that you do. One thing that I will say, I am really impressed with the time that characters will take with kids, and it's not a whole lot of time, but it still feels like more than I would expect, right? As long as the lines can get and everything, you would almost like I wouldn't be surprised to have them just like, all right, bring your kid over here, snap the picture, you know, wave at Mickey as you walk away. Like that's the character experience. And that was not my experience with any of the characters that we went and did. So you might get a little bit more time. I feel like it was more relaxed, you know, doing the character dining, but you get a pretty good amount of time if you're willing to wait in line. But some of those characters, I mean, that can be a good chunk of your day spent waiting in line for characters, or you can, you know, knock quite a few off the list at one character dining experience.
Yeah, I've been kind of shocked at the amount of time that characters will, you know, spend with guests as well. You know, it's pretty cool that they'll, you know, basically give you however much time you want. But that's always been at meet and greet things where, you know, people have waited in line. It's basically just you and the character. But, and I don't guess, like thinking about Chef Mickey's, I don't guess there's ever a time where Mickey could just kind of like sit at the table with you, which is kind of, when you say character dining, and Mickey's a bad example because, you know, he'd probably have a hard time sitting down. But if you had someone like Peter Pan, you know, who could sit at the table with you and just kind of like sit and chat for a couple of minutes, that would be so amazing, like such a cool experience. That would be something that I would be willing to pay for. Having a character like walk around and like stop by and say hi to me as an adult is not super meaningful, but like to have a character come and pull out the empty chair at the table and sit down and just like come and chat with you is something that I find very interesting and compelling. But I don't feel like in all the things that I've seen about character dining that really ever happens.
I'm not going to say that it never happens. I don't recall, and I feel like something like that would stand out to me. I don't recall experiencing that during either of our character dining experiences. But I don't know, maybe we just didn't ask the right questions, but there's also a dining room full of people, right? So
right. Yeah.
While there are a few characters out at any one time, you know, there are still only a small number of characters to the number of diners there. So they do have to work the room. So yeah, that's all something to take into account. Like, I feel like character dining was more something that my sister was really, because my sister is huge into characters, and you know, I guess I should walk back something I said earlier, because I said, you know, the amount of time characters spend with kids, and you said with guests, and that is definitely true, because, you know, my sister is one who will, you know, want to go wait in line, and I'll go with her to go wait in line. I was thinking, the, you know, we went and saw Wreck-It Ralph and Vanellope in the Imagination pavilion. Like, you know, it's like at the exit to Journey in with Figment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, got to the front of the line or whatever, and they spent quite a bit of time interacting with her, and she's an adult, but that didn't, you know, like, I think that's really cool that, yeah, it doesn't, kid at heart, they're going to interact with you.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, I feel like it was a similar experience with character dining. And maybe, you know what, I may be in the minority, and, you know, other people have had, you know, oh, well, we spent like 5 or 10 minutes with the character. It could also have to do with the amount of interaction we were doing with the character, you know, mm-hmm. like maybe we didn't give them enough to play off of or something like that. Yeah, I still think character dining would be worth it to get a lot of characters knocked out if you're looking to do characters.
Right.
So that's really the thing.
Okay.
But if you're not looking to do characters, character dining pricing will get you a long way toward California Grill mm-hmm. or Le Cellier or Takumite or, you know, Via Napoli or insert name of restaurant we both like here.
Right. Well, I appreciate your insight, because that's kind of been a bit of a black box for us, honestly, because it's not something we've ever really been willing to try, because meals are so, you know, guarded.
There's very few of them, and you know the places that you feel like you have to hit.
Right.
So it doesn't leave a lot of openings for others.
Right. Yeah. So that's good to know. And yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really, for me at least, it doesn't really sound like something that I would like leave that experience going, you know, oh man, yeah, that was awesome. Because, you know, from what I've seen, like I've seen Chef Mickey, you know, from the contemporary, and I've seen Mickey walking around in there and stuff, but it just seems like Mickey walking around in there. And that's not something that I am excited about. When we take my children, that will be a completely different story, but me and my wife probably will skip that.
And now that we have said all of that, I'm sure someone can let us know a totally different experience about character dining and why character dining is totally worth it. And I would love it. Please reach out to us if you've done character dining, because, you know, Jeremy needs some insight, and I just have some hazy experiences from far too many years ago. I know that I haven't done it recently. So yeah, let us know. Jeremy, how can they let us know?
You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.